You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, around the world to, I believe this is part four of our ongoing series on asset protection. Now, if you want to get way ahead of the game, go to our website. It's harvest-trust.org. That's harvest-trust.org. And click on the Belize Offshore Trust banner there and start reading. Just follow all the links and start reading and studying, and you'll learn quite a bit. You won't learn as much as you're going to learn listening to this broadcast, or if you send for our report. The report is $50. If you'd like to have a copy of everything that I'm giving you on the Internet, not on the Internet, but on this broadcast last week, tonight, and a couple more nights, and maybe even after that, send $50. To the Hour of the Time, in care of 101.1 FM. That's the Hour of the Time, in care of 101.1 FM. P.O. Box 940. That's P.O. Box 940. Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Once again, the Hour of the Time, in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925, USA. The information that you're getting on this broadcast applies in any country, anywhere. So pay very close attention, folks. You want to make sure that you get this information. Along with your report, you will also get the, got a little ahead of myself there. You'll also get the information you need to make application if you want to join the Belize Trust program. It's up to you. I highly recommend it. This nation is quickly becoming the Fourth Reich. Nothing that you have is safe in the United States anymore. If you think it is, well, stick around. You're going to find out the hard way. The hard way. We're headed into full-blown socialism. And socialism doesn't let you have anything. You have to be a victim. You have to be poor. You have to be one of the downtrodden masses. They must eliminate the middle class. You can't own property in a socialist state. And so they're going to take it all away from you, and then Big Brother is going to promise to take care of you and your children and all of that kind of stuff that we have seen in the past. Socialism never, ever does. They kill, murder, put people in prison, concentration camps, labor camps. Socialists are responsible, as a group, for the largest number of people murdered in the history of the world by any one group. So if you think you like socialism, stick around. You'll change your mind real quick. Even the people who love socialism, who usually bring socialism and communists to power, always find out that they made a big mistake. They're usually the first ones executed. And, you know, if you don't believe me, look it up. It's all there for everybody to see. It's a matter of historical record.
Majesty, if you were a king, you wouldn't be afraid of anything?
Not nobody. Not no-how.
Not even a rhinoceros?
Imposterous.
How about a hippopotamus?
Why, I'd trash him from top to bottom.
Supposing you met an elephant?
I'd map him up himself. What if it were a brontosaurus? I'd show him who was king of the forest. Ow! How? Courage. What makes a king out of a slave? Courage. What makes the flag on the mast to wave? Courage. What makes the elephant charge his tusk in the misty mist or the dusky dusk? What make the muskrat guard his musk? Courage. What makes the Sphinx the seventh wonder? Courage. What makes the dawn come like thunder? What makes the Hottentot so hot? What puts the ape beneath me, cops? What have they got that I ain't got?
Courage. You could say that again.
Yes. They can say that again. But will they? How does the settler communicate instructions to the trustee? I'm backing up just a little bit, maintain the continuity of what I'm teaching you here. Well, folks, it's very simple. The settler merely sends a letter of wishes. See, he cannot order the trustee to do anything, but he can submit a letter of wishes that contains the instructions or request, and it should always be in the form of a request, never instructions or orders. The settler can, for instance, ask the trustee to send funds, request a change in beneficiaries, make new investments, request a loan to himself or another beneficiary, or appoint a new trustee or protector. While it appears that trustee has full control and authority, the settler, in fact, has considerable control over the trust and the trustee. So it is in the trustee's best interest to take care of the settler's reasonable requests. The key word there is reasonable. Otherwise, the trustee will be out of a job. Now, when it comes to offshore trusts, ladies and gentlemen, the most common question is, how do I know I can trust the trustee who lives in that foreign country and I've never met him before in my life? After all, when someone, particularly a stranger in another continent or some island somewhere, controls your money, you certainly have a legitimate concern that the trustee may embezzle, squander, lose your money, or make bad investments. And if you didn't wonder about those things or take steps to answer those questions, then you certainly would not be responsible and you would not be practicing due diligence in the efforts to protect the assets. And that you must do, always. In reality, there is very little, absolutely very little, and in my experience, no basis for any of this kind of concern. Foreign trustees are known to have impeccable track records for honesty and prudence. In fact, I have never, and the Belize Trust Program has never heard of one instance where an individual has ever lost $1 to theft by a foreign trustee. I can tell you personally that our family has never even lost a penny. The trustees that we deal with have been absolutely the most responsible businessmen that I think I've ever dealt with in my life. In addition to the inherent honesty of the trustee, an offshore haven cannot afford an embezzlement scandal. You see, they make their money, ladies and gentlemen, by building confidence in order to attract lots and lots of money from other countries to their shores. And a lot of people make their living because of that. The country's economy thrives because of it. Because a lot of that money, those investors choose to invest in projects in that country. If for any reason a trustee should prove dishonest, the tax haven country itself will move towards making very quick restitution because they can't afford. They don't want to even hear it. They don't want the negative publicity. They don't want to drive the money away from their country. They need it. So, check it out carefully. And once you've reach the understanding that these things just don't happen. And if they should, perchance, you're not going to lose anything. Nobody's going to let that happen. Your next question might be, what happens when I die if I'm the settler of this trust? And, of course, I'm advising you not to be. There's ways to do this so that you're not the settler, the protector, the beneficiary, or the trustee, and still can maintain control. And I'll be talking about that before I'm done. One of the greatest benefits, ladies and gentlemen, of an offshore trust is that it is air-conditioned. That's spelled H-E-I-R. Air, as in your children. Normally, upon the death of the settlor, the assets will be distributed according to trust provisions. The final beneficiaries and method of distribution are kept on record through a letter of wishes or a series of letters that reflect changes. The trust ordinarily provides that it will dissolve upon settlor's death, or after a certain number of years, the assets will go to the remainder of the beneficiaries. If you really want to make this work, I recommend that your trust be in effect for the maximum number of years allowed, which in Belize is 125 years. Well, what if you don't want it to last that long? What if you want your heirs to take over and receive all the benefits? Or what if you want your heirs to take over and control the trust after you're dead? And you do want the trust to go on in operation for the maximum number of years, or a set number of years beyond the time of your death. Well, if your heirs are the beneficiaries of the trust, there's no change needed. You see, the successor trustees takes over and conducts business as usual. If your heirs were not the beneficiaries at the time of your death and would like to be afterwards, the present beneficiaries need to relinquish their position and have it cleared by the trustee. Now, you might have some difficulty doing that, so you want to make sure that all of the specifications of who is going to be the beneficiaries of the trust are clear before you die. So you have to take care of all that through your letters of wishes to the trustee before you kick the bucket. One of the best ways of doing this is by having bearer certificates. In other words, whoever holds the certificates is the beneficiary. Or if there's more than one beneficiary, there would be more than one certificate. Or there may be one certificate entrusted to two or three or four people. However you set it up is the way that it will work. If your heirs simply want to control the assets like you did before your death, you will need to make sure their names are established as successor trustee in the appropriate minutes. That way, in the event of your death, they automatically take over your position as first trustee. Now, what is a trust certificate unit and TCU, or trust certificate unit holder? Well, it's very simple, folks. A trust certificate unit is similar to a stock certificate in that it represents ownership to an asset or a group of assets. A trust may have any number of certificates issued. The settlor designates exactly how the trust certificate units are divided, and whoever holds them are the beneficiaries of the trust. The trust can be issued one bearer certificate to be transferred to the beneficiary of your choosing upon your death. And during your lifetime, there really doesn't have to be a beneficiary. You can just hold that certificate until you die and then specify who it's going to go to. Nothing is actually transferred to whomever you may name in your will except that certificate. And unless there is a disbursement of the assets of the trust to the beneficiary, there's absolutely nothing to tax. It's also a good idea if you pass it along without anybody knowing that you've done it. There are ways to do that also. Now, listen to me very carefully. A trust is not a bank account. It's not an investment account. You see, none of the assets belong to you once you place them in the trust. Now, somebody like the IRS, if you're the settlor, the trustee, the protector, or beneficiary, and you're the one who put those assets in that trust, they're going to try to say that they really do belong to you, and they're going to try to tax you on it. And this is one reason why I'm telling you it's not good to be one of those things. The trust does not have a return until funds are invested by the trustee at your request. A trust is not usually registered or recorded. And I advise you strongly never to register or record your trust. A trust has no reporting or accounting requirements, none whatsoever, and it is not required to be registered or recorded. The assets are not subject to taxation until a disbursement has been made. Assets not subject to probate are estate duties. So when you die, you don't lose most of what you accumulated in your lifetime because of death taxes and inheritance taxes and lawyers and contested wills and all of these kinds of things. You may die, but the trust continues to live. And remember, the trust in the law is a person. A trust does not need an attorney or an accountant to set up the trust. Not required. It is not required, ladies and gentlemen. Now, how can an offshore trust protect your assets? Well, quite simply, the very same way that it has protected the assets that this family has accumulated throughout its lifetime. I own nothing now. Everything is in trust. Even though there's a warrant out for my arrest by the federal government in an attempt to shut me up because I've never broken the law, at least not intentionally, and I've never committed a felony or anything like that. Almost everybody in this nation has committed a misdemeanor at one time or another. A traffic ticket is a misdemeanor. A parking ticket is a misdemeanor. But the jackbooted thugs have never succeeded in even taking one single penny that belonged ever to this family. This family owns nothing now. Now, you wouldn't have those kinds of problems because you're not on the radio telling the truth that hurts these stinking, rotten, treasonous socialists who want to destroy this country and bring about their utopian world. You're not hurting them like I am. No one in the history of their attempt to take over this country has ever hurt them like I have done. I'm the only one who has ever been named as the most dangerous enemy to their cause. The only one. So it's only natural that they come after me, and I told you many years ago that they would. I was prepared for it. I'm prepared to die, if need be, in this battle, and it is a battle, it's a war, in order to make sure that my children can live free in the future. You don't have this problem. And if you keep your mouth shut, you do this right within the law, and you keep your assets out of this country so that they cannot take them, you'll be fine. Try to do it any other way, ladies and gentlemen, and sooner or later you're going to lose it all. Most of you have already arrived at that conclusion without my help. But even if everything were fine, to own property today in this country, in today's litigious society, is a liability. The government wants you to own property because it is in their best interest and a major source of tax dollars. Attorneys will tell you about living trusts and wills, but they don't want you to know about benefits of an offshore trust because it eliminates the need for probate. And that's one of the biggest sources of incomes for attorneys. It also shelters your assets, so it becomes unprofitable for attorneys to sue you. In fact, an attorney will never take a lawsuit against someone who has no money and no property, because he knows that even if he wins, he will not be paid. Not one red cent will he get. Neither will his client or her client. An offshore trust discourages litigation in three ways. Listen to me very carefully. First, it provides secrecy. Nobody's going to know anything about it unless you open your big mouth. Unless you have a disease known as flap jaw. And it's terminal. A trust provides secrecy. The creditor or plaintiff in a lawsuit doesn't know how much money you have, which usually stops many potential lawsuits before they start. And even if they thought they knew how much money you have, you really don't have it. And this is what you have to get through your head. You don't own it. It belongs to the trust, not you. Second, an offshore trust will convince even the most determined plaintiff that it would be difficult, if not impossible, to collect, whether they won or not. And I'm telling you right now, they wouldn't be able to collect at all, except if they could find trust property in this country. And they're not going to do that unless, once again, you have flap jaw, a terminal disease that wipes so many people out. I was talking to a judge one time, a real federal judge who was honest with me in private, but would never repeat anything that we discussed, and, you know, none of the honest things that he ever admitted in public. And I said, you know, if all of this is true, why are there so many people in prison who should not be there? He said, Bill, there's not one single person in prison who did not volunteer to go. Well, that shut me up for a while because I was pushed way down in the depths of deep thought when he said that. It took me a while to really understand what he was talking about. Flap jaw is exactly what he was talking about. Dealing, plea bargaining, not trusting the jury. Giving them, by opening your mouth and talking, all the information they needed to put them in prison. Well, if you can keep your mouth shut, the asset protection of an offshore trust levels the playing field. The defendant gains bargaining power and leverage because the plaintiff cannot collect. And remember, you don't own anything. The trust does. You're not ever going to be the defendant. The trust is going to be the defendant. Since the trust is offshore, they cannot subpoena the trust or the trustee to come into a court in this country and testify. The offshore trust gives you leverage to settle for pennies on the dollar if you choose to do so. I, of course, would never do that. Now, there's a big portion of this that has to be governed by morals and ethics. You should not, and I'm going to say should not because I know damn well there are some people out there listening who would, because they're selfish and greedy and don't give a damn about anyone else. And the only reason they would enter into this would not be to pass down anything to their posterity, but to preserve it for their greedy little selves while they're alive. We all know people like that. You should never use a trust to keep from paying debts that you lawfully entered into and lawfully owe. You should never use a trust to get out of a contract that you knowingly signed and committed yourself to with no fraud perpetrated against you. If you hurt someone and you know in your heart and soul that it was your fault, you should not use a trust to get out of taking care of that person that you hurt. So understand what I'm telling you, even though I know most of you aren't going to pay any attention to that at all. Third and most important, a judgment creditor cannot seize your assets under any circumstances. A judgment creditor cannot seize your assets under any circumstances, and that goes for the jackbooted Nazi, lying, outlaw, criminal thugs of the Internal Revenue Service. Traitors all. Scum of the earth. And this also applies to the beneficiaries. The beneficiaries' creditors have even less power to reach assets because the beneficiary has no vested interest in the trust. If you do this right, neither will you. In the event the beneficiary becomes insolvent, or any part of his property becomes liable to seizure or sequestration for the benefit of creditors, the trustee has the right to minimize the beneficiary's interest in the trust. This is designed to protect the beneficiary against his or her own incompetence or inability to handle money or property. And for added protection, the trust has a spendthrift provision that prevents the beneficiary's creditors from seizing undistributed assets. And how could they anyway? If they're undistributed, they belong to the trust, not the beneficiary. Nothing belongs to the beneficiary. Nothing is taxable or seizable or probatable or anything else until it has been dispersed to the beneficiary from the trust. An offshore trust is also the safest alternative if somebody is already after your assets. The fact that creditors know about the trust will not give them claim. A court cannot touch assets in an offshore trust, even though the American settlor debtor is under court provisions. Even though the court knows about the assets, the court still cannot compel a debtor to do what the debtor has no legal power to do. You see, the assets belong to the trust. Only the trustee has the power to hand over assets to anyone. Only the trustee has the power to return assets titled to a trust. By the terms of the trust, the settlor, as judgment debtor, cannot compel the foreign trustee to return assets and therefore cannot be held in contempt of court for failure to do so. Even if he tried, the trustee would not allow him. So if somebody is already after your assets, there are many ways to protect yourself with an offshore trust. You can loan yourself back your own money. And actually, that's wrong. You can't loan anything. The trustee can loan you money that belongs to the trust and encumber your assets to secure payment. This loan can be interest-free. You see, we have a right to contract whatever we wish. You could take a second mortgage loan from the trust with payments so high and repayment terms so unattractive that creditors would not pursue your home. Since you indirectly control the trust, you can adjust the loan in many ways. In other words, there could be such a debt placed upon your assets owed to the trust that nobody is even going to try to take them. Another way is to borrow money from the trust through a shared appreciation mortgage. You borrow money from the trust and agree to repay the loan at a lower rate of interest in exchange for the trust receiving a share of the pledged property's future appreciation. The profits eventually go to the trust and are tax deductible to you and are tax The profits eventually go to the trust and are tax deductible to you and are tax deferred until your death. In the meantime, the shared appreciation mortgage shields future equity buildup from creditors. See what possibilities there are? Does your business have accounts receivable? You could sell them to the trust at a discount. Now, you can't sell it at a greater discount than it is normally accepted in business, because then the IRS will say you gave it to the trust and therefore it was an unlawful and not standard big business practice to do that. That's why I always warn you, everything must be done according to real value. Now, in business, they really do sell accounts receivable at a discount, and it's called factoring. If you sell them for 50 cents on the dollar and you have $10,000 in receivables, your business will receive $5,000. When the receivables are collected, the trust will have $10,000, which gives the trust a non-taxable income of $5,000. The possibilities are endless. Keep in mind, folks, that it is fraudulent to transfer assets after legal action has been undertaken. But if you know that legal action is going to be taken, it is not illegal. It is not illegal. It is not fraudulent to take action and transfer assets before the legal action has been filed. However, even under the circumstances of after legal action has been undertaken, the court still cannot compel the settlor debtor or the trustee to remove the assets from the trust. But they can prosecute you if you broke the law and transferred the assets after you knew legal action was undertaken. But even though they may be able to prosecute you for that, they cannot touch your assets. The offshore trust breaks the chain of legal ownership between the settlor and assets. So you don't own it anymore. It's not your money. It's not your property. It's not your home. It's not your car. None of it belongs to you. And the anti-duress clause in a trust further provides that the trustee must ignore any request from the settlor or beneficiary that is made from a court order. The creditor or plaintiff could try to file claim in the tax haven, but the laws of such places are structured in such a way as to make it difficult, if not impossible, to collect. Even if a creditor were successful, the trustee will evoke the flight provision feature of the trust by exercising his or her right and moved the trust to a new haven, and it can literally be done within an hour on a computer, forcing the creditor to begin legal action again. And legal action offshore, ladies and gentlemen, is expensive. You have to have a lawyer here who must contact a lawyer in that country, who must locate the assets, find out where the trust is, who the trustee is, bring the action in the court. And it's all done through your attorney here. If you think it costs a lot to sue somebody in this country, try suing somebody outside this country. That's why you never hear of things like that happening. So as you can see, an offshore trust is your best legal alternative to protect yourself without illegally concealing your assets. Don't ever do anything illegal or unlawful. Stay within the bounds of the law. And I'm talking about the law. I'm not talking about the color of law. Stay within the law, and you'll be fine. With a trust, you can be both truthful, ladies and gentlemen, and safe. What about bankruptcy, you may ask? How does an offshore trust affect bankruptcy? It is essential, ladies and gentlemen, to truthfully report to the bankruptcy court all recent transfers to a trust that you may have an interest in. Now, the key word is that you may have an interest in. If you're not the trustee, the beneficiary, the protector, or the settlor, you have no interest in that trust. The assets do not belong to you, even though you transferred them. And if you don't occupy one of those four positions, you have absolutely no interest in those assets whatsoever. Dishonest reporting in bankruptcy is fraud. On the other hand, a bankruptcy court has the same recovery powers as an individual creditor. As long as there are at least two or more discretionary beneficiaries of the trust, the trustee is under no obligation to distribute assets to the bankrupt beneficiary, assuming you are one of the beneficiaries. A bankruptcy court cannot compel the trustee to turn over assets transferred to the trust under any circumstances for any reason whatsoever. Period. Can the IRS seize assets in an offshore trust? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the manner in which the IRS treats the United States of American citizen and the separate citizens of the several states has done more to encourage taxpayers to move their assets offshore than any other factor. And if I had not discovered the terrible tyranny of the Internal Revenue Service, long before they ever came after me, I would never even have thought about putting my assets in a trust. But I began looking for ways to protect our assets as soon as I discovered there was no law that required us to file and pay the income tax in the first place. Congress has never passed such a law. No such law exists. We're just simply not bound by law to participate. And I'm not going to. So it's mainly because of the IRS that there is a great, huge, burgeoning, and successful offshore business in investments, asset protection, trusts, international business corporations, and I could go on and on and on and on. You see, the position of the Internal Revenue Service jackbooted Nazi thugs is you're guilty until you're proven innocent. And that has ultimately undermined and destroyed American patriotism. What is the government's response? Expand the authority of the Internal Revenue Service. Taxpayers, if you call yourself a taxpayer, you're a fool. If you belong to something called the Taxpayers Party, you're even a bigger fool. Because in the law, you are what you call yourself. Citizens with serious Internal Revenue Service problems frequently sell or mortgage their assets and then transfer their liquid wealth to the offshore trust before a tax lien is levied. And ladies and gentlemen, I've investigated these IRS tax liens. They have never levied a lien in their history. They fool the county recorder by filing a notice of lien. A notice of lien is not a lien. Only a court can make a judgment and place a lien on a property. The IRS does all of this hocus-pocus magic bullshit act under color of law, without due process, without a court order, with nothing. They do not file actual liens. No lien exists. What they file is a notice of lien with the county recorder, who's just another dumb sheeple and doesn't know the difference, and therefore is part and parcel to the conspiracy to destroy you and your property. And it usually is your next door neighbor. Oh, it's old Mrs. Harris, been working for the county for 40 years. She's just such a sweet little thing. Too bad she's so damn ignorant. Sweet little thing, my butt. When she's doing things that destroy families and businesses and lives, she is not a sweet little thing. She is an ignorant, stupid clerk sheeple. Participating in tyranny. So no lien is ever filed or levied. It's a hoax. If you don't believe me, check it out in the law yourself. I've already done it. Makes me sick. Makes me angry. So the only way your assets are safe from the Internal Revenue Service is to be sheltered offshore. They can't touch them there. A safe tax haven will not enforce Internal Revenue Service levies or summons or cooperate with the IRS to discover or seize trust assets. This is why it is important that the trust be located in a foreign haven that does not have reciprocal agreements with the United States. Could it happen to you? You betcha. It's going to happen to somebody listening to this broadcast tonight. You see, there's a lot of people who mistakenly believe that if they have a corporation, they're safe from judgment and creditor claims. And haven't we all at some times in our life said, well, can't happen to me. Even if you have a corporation, your personal assets may be seized to satisfy an Internal Revenue Service judgment against your corporation. Did you know that? You could lose your home, automobile, and all your personal possessions. They do it under the color of law, unlawfully, unconstitutionally, but nevertheless, they do it. Hitler lives, ladies and gentlemen, in the United States of America. That sucker never died. He just got in a rowboat and came over here. Roughly two-thirds of the owners of United States corporations are sitting ducks for this sort of legal action, and you don't even know it. The sudden seizure of your assets could result in something as simple as failing to keep complete corporate records. And you may not even have anything to do with it, may not even know the employee who does. And there may be a chain of managers between you and that employee that you must trust somewhere along the way to make sure that things are done right. Let's look at an example. Someone brings a frivolous lawsuit against you and your corporation simply because they know there's some money there, and they know to keep from spending years in court and hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees, some point along the way, you're going to offer to settle with them, because that's what most people do. Wrongly, no one should ever settle, but they do it. Their attorney subpoenas your corporate records. Or during a routine IRS audit, the auditor asks to see your corporate records. And like a fool, you give it to him. Just because he asks to see something doesn't mean that you're required to turn it over. In fact, you're not. In both cases, your corporate records are not up to date, or they may be incomplete. At that point, it is too late to fix them up as many people try to do under such circumstances, you're in trouble. Now, here's a worst-case scenario. The IRS pierces your corporate veil, denies tax benefits, and socks you with a huge tax bill. You can be ground up like sausage. You can't pay, and they file a notice of tax lien. Notice I said notice of tax lien, because that's what they file. They really don't have a lien. The county sheriff doesn't know the difference between a real lien and a notice of tax lien. And he goes out there with them to take all your property. Another stupid sheeple fool. That's how people who start out to do good end up doing terrible damage and harm to their neighbors, because they're ignorant. And even if somebody presents them the truth, they don't want to hear it, and that makes them stupid fools. They file a notice of tax lien. And, of course, everybody in the county goes right along with it, because they don't know the difference between a real lien and the notice of tax lien filed by the Internal Revenue Service. And they take all your property, real and personal. You try to borrow money to pay the bill, but all of a sudden you find your credit rating has evaporated overnight because of the tax lien. Your bank account is attached, regardless of how many checks you have outstanding. And then when they come in, guess what? You've bounced checks, and now you've committed a felony. Oh, yeah. It doesn't make any difference in the law why they bounce. You're not supposed to bounce checks. And you can go to prison for that. On top of all the IRS problems, most women, when a husband finds himself in that situation, will leave him and divorce him and take his children away from him. I'm not saying all women will do that, but most women will do it, have done it. It happens every day. They put a lien against your outstanding investments, or a notice of lien, I should say. They have never, ever secured a proper lien. And bankruptcy does not stop them. Your salary and your spouse's salary are garnished. This is usually when the wife decides she's leaving. I'm leaving. So much for marriage vows. They obtain a writ of entry and seize your safety deposit box. You didn't think they could do that, did you? But they can. They eventually grab your IRA or other retirement plan and the cash surrender value of your insurance. Without notice of foreclosure, your real property and liquid personal property could be sold with no minimum bid whatsoever for pennies on the dollar. And if that doesn't pay the bill, the Internal Revenue Service will attach your pension, and they will follow you and snatch every penny you ever earn out of your hands before you can even put it in your pocket. Sound like a horror story? Well, it is, and that is not even all. You see, if you're clever enough to try to end it all and protect your family from further seizure and die or commit suicide, they will come after your estate after you're dead. They will even take the family photo album. They'll take the children's piggy banks, dolls, and toys. You don't think so? Ask somebody who has been through it. They do all of that and more. You better understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is not the United States of America we were taught that it was when we were children. And I'm 56 years old, so I was a child a few years ago. What I was taught about this country was totally different from what I see that it actually really is today. This is not the United States of America that I was promised. This is not the United States of America that the founding fathers built. This is not the United States of America that all of the patriots who have died for freedom and for this country in its history fought and died for. We're about 1 inch away from the most terrible despotic tyranny that you can imagine. And for many people, it is already here. Now, as with bankruptcy, all asset transfers to a trust and legal or beneficial interest in a trust must be disclosed to the Internal Revenue Service according to their color of law, Nazi jackbooted thug tyranny regulations that have no force of law whatsoever, when it comes and when it attempts to enforce collection. However, even if they know about it, they still cannot seize the assets, nor can they force you to remove assets in an offshore trust under any circumstances. And remember, if you're not the settlor, the trustee, the protector, or a beneficiary, they can't even try to come to you to get you to disclose any of it or enforce any collection, because none of it belongs to you, and they can't connect you with it at all if you are not in one of those four positions. And you couldn't give them anything anyway. It doesn't belong to you. Even if you are in one of those four positions, only the trustee can disperse or move or give over assets of a trust. You no longer own the assets. The trustee owns the assets in trust for the trust and controls them and will not allow them to be seized under any circumstances, and the laws of the country, if you choose properly, Belize is your best choice, the laws of that country will protect the trust and the trustee against any attempt . And did you know that your business can be a trust? Now, I've met some sheeple in my life, and socialists are the biggest sheeple I've ever seen. I mean, their brains have vacated their head. And the first thing that they will ask is, why do I need all this secrecy if I have nothing to hide? Privacy, folks, is a dirty word to socialists. It's a dirty word to bureaucrats, too. Consequently, it's virtually extinct and unavailable in the United States today. You would be absolutely amazed what they know about you. In fact, you would be amazed what I can find out about every single one of you listening to this broadcast without exception, just by spending 1 hour on my computer. You would be amazed. In fact, it would scare you. You see, the government of the United States neither respects nor guarantees your privacy. Your private records are not protected. Our debt-ridden government wants a bigger bite of your wealth so it can search harder and harder and harder each year for more dollars, for more taxes to confiscate from you and your family, and use any excuse, including national security and crime prevention and drugs, and to invade your financial property and just take it all away. If they thought they could sell you and slavery was legal, they'd take you too. If there was a slave market, they'd sell you there if they could get away with it. Your financial records can be subpoenaed. Of course, you don't have to turn them over simply because of the Fifth Amendment. But they can be subpoenaed not only from you, but from your bank, and that's a third party, from an accountant, from your CPA, from your bookkeeper, from your investment broker, or financial planner, or anybody else who knows anything about them. It's only you, if you're accused, can cite the Fifth Amendment for not turning anything over that might tend to incriminate you. And I can hear the socialists say, well, if you're not guilty of any crime, why would it tend to incriminate you? Little do they know. The United States government has at least 30 active files on each single person listening to this broadcast and every other person who lives in the United States of America as a typical American or resident alien. If you're a high-profile individual like me, they may have hundreds of files which they freely share with anyone who wants to know. So think about your income tax. Think your income tax information is confidential? Well, think again. New rules, ladies and gentlemen, enable the Internal Revenue Service to hire outside contractors to process tax return information. The new rules state that providing tax return information to outside companies will not violate taxpayer confidentiality. Common sense says that anyone other than the IRS who has access to your tax return has the ability to do whatever they want with them. How about that? How about them apples? Ladies and gentlemen, good night. God bless each and every single one of you. God bless you, Annie, Pooh, and Allison. I love you. May God keep you safe.
It's a twister! It's a twister!
Why President William Jefferson Clinton called me, William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America. Oh, man. They hate it when I teach you stuff like this. They can't stand the truth. Makes them run for cover. It's like turning the light on and all the cockroaches and bugs and spiders slide and slip and slime back under the refrigerator. Well, that's what we do here. We illuminate the cockroaches. Make them scurry for cover. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night for part 5. You're listening to 101.1 FM Eager, classic radio like you always wished it could be. A lot of truth mixed in there, too, and a lot of the very best music of all of the best music of all the generations gone by.
Don't